Blog Talk Radio.
Tornado. Me, I'm the number one guy in this business. Tony Panica. And we got a special guest tonight. I'm in the car, and my favorite mother's in the car with me. Want to say something live on the air, Ma?
Hello.
Yeah, boy, I had to break that out of her.
Tell her we said hi.
She's out of control. I can't take her anywhere.
We're trying to make tonight's show a tribute to the upcoming Battle of the Badges 3 in Boston.
It's next weekend, ain't it?
Yep. And,
I wish I could come up with that, except somebody booked a vacation without telling me.
Well, I'm not even going to be there, I don't think, because I'm still stuck out here in Vegas. It doesn't look like I'll
be. Oh, well.
We're working on trying to get Bobby McGuire on, who's the coach of the FDNY boxing team, their fire department there. And we had him as an interviewee for the last show, last year. But kind of last notice, of course, we're dealing with Dennis Maurice, so we always have to keep him on his toes.
Oh, always.
But we're gonna at least call Dennis at the 8:30 point and see what he has to say if we can't get Bobby. And we'll talk a little bit about the event. It's gonna be April 30th at the Boston Park Plaza Hotel. It's actually at the Boston Park Plaza Castle. It's their function hall. It's called the Castle. And if you want more information or you want to get tickets or find out how to sponsor the event, you go to battleofthebadges.info. It's all right there. Right on the blog that I created. Thank you very much. Other than that, we get to boxing, MMA news, all sorts of stuff to cover. We had some upsets this last weekend in boxing. I don't know if you checked all that out, but... a couple guys that weren't supposed to lose lost. Andre Berto.
Hold on. Yelling at an idiot across the road from me. Well, then they can't drive. I'm about to punch him in the face. sorry, the tornado gets road rage when he's, you know, behind idiots on the road.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
No, it was funny. I got home Saturday night just in time to see the Berto fight. Now, the main event of the weekend, though, and this all ties in together. It ties in with the Battle of the Badges, and it ties in with some fighting, and it ties in with a great upset. I saw the number one fight of the weekend live and in person. It was a 60-year-old female police officer standing hold of 5'1". Punch out. Yes, punch out a late teens, early 20s male standing about 5'10", 5'11". So it ties in with fighting. It ties in with Battle of the Badges because she was a police officer. And it ties in with the great upset because nobody would have picked her to win. But she threw the guy up against a pillar, and she the first strike was an open hand. The second two were closed fists right in the mouth. The guy was basically crying. His little buddy that looked like Eddie Munster tried to run over and help. And a security guard about the size of your average offensive lineman put him in a bear hug and slammed up against a concrete wall.
Nice.
That was the highlight of my weekend.
Certainly.
And it's a good thing our show was on Thursdays because up until Wednesday afternoon I didn't have a voice. Apparently I strained the vocal cord, which is very unusual for me because I'm used to you know, having strong vocal cords because I yell at somebody all the time.
I don't know.
I think I get that from my mother.
I didn't get to see the fights, the boxing this weekend myself. But I did hear a lot about it. We had Berto get upset, then we had Juan Manuel Lopez got beat by Orlando Salido. So, how did the Berto fight go? You said you saw it.
Actually, Berto looked bad from the start. You know, we turned the fight on, and both my father and I said, this fight's going to be a mismatch. Berto's going to run right through him. Ortiz didn't have the heart, and so we start in the first round. It looks like, you know, it was like a flash knockdown. It got waved off, and we're like, nah, Berto wasn't down, but he looked hurt. Then a couple seconds later, Ortiz put him down for real, and he was hurt. And then they say, oh man, like, you know, Berto's hurt, you know, his legs are gone. And then from there, it was, you know, Berto Ortiz down. I'm like, okay, this is not the way it should be. But then next thing you know, it's like Ortiz is kicking the living shit out of him, put him down again. In the sixth round, Berto got up. Ortiz had him hurt bad. And then Berto was able to knock Ortiz down. Had Ortiz hurt, we're like, okay, Berto's going to come back and win this. But then it just got to the point where Ortiz just did not give up. And he actually, I had lost a lot of respect for him with the fight with Maidana, but he won me back. I can hear you. Recap of the fight?
Yeah, I just lost it for a second there. But, that's definitely not something a lot of people expected to see. Berto going down like that. As we talked about last week, Nick Diaz has been talking about switching over from MMA boxing. And there's been a few more names for the mix, I guess. It's not going to happen with the guy we mentioned there. I forget who we talked about, but Jeff Leakey's now. It's like the one contender there to box Nick Diaz. So that's circulating this week. Other than that, let me just check. David Haye versus Vladimir Klitschko. I'm sure you heard that, right?
Yes, I did.
So why I second that you are going to fight. And it's going to be in Hamburg, Germany. And typically, I think that's usually where Vladimir fights. So it's going to kind of be like home turf for him. But he says he's going to be trying in a lot of Brits who are going to make it his home turf. So we'll see. It's not that far from the UK, so I'm sure a lot of people will want to fly out to see it. Let's check out the schedule for this week. While we're waiting here, how did your week go there, Tony?
My week? What do you mean, my week?
What new other than sitting to see a cop knock out a kid?
Well, the weather hasn't been too great here, but it was kind of perfect for my mood because of the fact that up until yesterday, I didn't have much of a voice. Saturday night was actually kind of creepy because, I got a ticket from a friend of mine to the Flyers Sabres game 2 in Philadelphia, which was pretty cool. I wasn't feeling all that great Friday night. I had to shuttle, you know, my cousin and my friend Sean around. They were going on their little first little date together. And neither of them had a car, so I came to the show first. We all went to the movie. So it was, you know, kind of a long night, and I felt myself kind of getting worn down. Saturday, I was out running around all day, and when we went down to the game, it was actually pouring. So I got so thrown into the game. After the game was over, which I yelled and screamed a lot, I got sent coming out of the game. It was so bad. I was on the expressway coming home. It was raining so hard that I was going 35 miles an hour in the fast lane, on the expressway. And the thing in front of me and the car behind me wasn't gaining on me. It was so dark, you couldn't see the lines. I had to have my friend in the passenger seat kind of be my eyes on the right side saying, you're starting to go into the other lane again, because you couldn't see the lines and you couldn't see the retaining wall next to you. So you're trying not to hit the wall. You're trying not to go in the other lane. So that was kind of rough, and I got soaked when that was over. By the time I got home to watch the Berto fight, my voice was starting to go. I was starting to feel myself congested, and it was a combination of a head cold and straining my vocal cords. On Sunday and Monday, my voice was cracking so bad, I sounded like a kid hitting puberty. Rich, I think you didn't know if I'd be ready for the show tonight.
Yeah, well, you sound much better. You made a miraculous recovery.
Thanks, well, that's what you mean, mate.
Well, looking at ESPN2 Friday Night Fights here from Uncasville, Connecticut. The Mohegan Sun main event is going to be Bradus Prescott, 23-2 with 19 knockouts, fighting Bayon Jargal, 15-1 with 10 knockouts, 3 draws. So,
Bradus Prescott had a very impressive 50-second knockout win over Amir Khan.
Correct. And I think they're talking about doing a rematch, too. We have a light middleweight fight also on the card. Demetrius Andre, 12-0 with 8 knockouts, fighting Omar Bell, who's 8-1 with 5 knockouts. Pretty much it for that card. Lots of stuff going on all over the world this weekend. Let's
Since we're only a couple weeks away, this weekend I should be working on my Pacquiao Mosley preview.
Freddie Roach says he wants Pacquiao to knock Mosley out early. So that's interesting.
That's interesting because, remember, Mosley's a guy that's never been stopped, and he's only ever been knocked down twice in his entire career. Spanning a lot, a good number of fights. He's fought some pretty good punchers out there, Oscar De La Hoya, even the guys that were, you know, faded by that time were still some good punchers, Ricardo Mayorga, Fernando Vargas. Vernon Forrest is the only guy to knock him down. Mayweather had him hurt a few times, but, you know, just didn't want to go in for the kill. You know, was content just to crack him and get out, not risk facing that right hand again Mosley had hit him with. That's the thing is now Pacquiao is going to be coming out there like a lightning bolt, but he is not as defensively, you know, spectacular as Mayweather is. Mosley was able to get to Mayweather once. Will he be able to get to Pacquiao? Because Pacquiao is a guy that's, you know, not his best defense is his unbelievable offense.
Right.
Well, here's the thing: if you go back and you watch a lot of Shane Mosley fights, Shane Mosley, when he is fighting a guy that he has the advantage on pretty much, you know, in all the categories. Some of his earlier fights where he was, like, you know, lightweight world champion, he was dominating everybody. His fights with guys like Fernando Vargas, like Antonio Margarito, that were a little bit slower, a little bit more stationary, very predictable. He was able to really dictate pace. When he fought guys that he really was feeling uncomfortable with, and I would say more guys like Vernon Forrest. The first time he got knocked down and he was hurt. The second time he just wasn't able to really do anything with Forrest and made it a very dull fight. His fights with Lindsey Wright, his fight with his second fight with De La Hoya that I thought he lost. You know, along with the obviously the fight against Floyd Mayweather. Mosley gets very herky jerky. He gets almost ahead of himself, and he gets so intense. You can just tell he's not relaxed out there, and he's, you know, doing a lot of movement, a lot of upper body movement. He's rolling his hands, and he's doing a lot of head movement and stuff like that, but he doesn't accomplish much in the way of punching. Look at that fight again with Mayweather last year after that right hand in the second round. After that, I mean, he was looking for the perfect shot, and he's rolling his hands, and he's moving his body, but he wasn't throwing any punches. And it was just letting Mayweather, you know, when you roll your hands like that a lot and do a lot of those upper body movements, if you don't punch with them, you become very susceptible to be timed because the guy kind of knows what you're going to do. And that's what Mayweather was doing. He was just timing Mosley's upper body movements, wait, and then hit him. And I think that's what you're going to see more or less with Pacquiao. Mosley, once again, is going to be doing that real, he's not going to be relaxed out there, let's put it that way. Very tight, a lot of herky-jerky movements, because I think in this fight, you know, he's going to realize that he's chasing a guy that is just as fast, if not faster, very aggressive. I mean, maybe the best thing for Mosley in this fight is that if Pacquiao really starts opening up the offense, it's going to force Mosley just to throw a punch. That's Mosley's best chance, to be honest. I mean, he could land a haymaker left hook or right hand and knock Pacquiao out. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. But if things lay out the way they're supposed to lay out, Pacquiao should be the one dishing out most of the punishment. Mosley's never been stopped, and I think that carried a lot of weight. And I would say that Mosley will last a distance. It won't be a pretty night for him. He'll have a few moments here and there, but 85% of the moments of that fight will be Manny Pacquiao's over 12 rounds.
Well, you insist. maybe while there's still rays on for automation. And hasn't stopped Mayweather from flapping their gums about whatever it is. Back to this week's schedule, Saturday night in D.C., it looks like we have a mismatch of the week here at Super Middle. It's around that to between Jones, who's 20-2, the knockout, and Torrance, who's 1-7.
Wow.
Then down in Miami, not particularly a great main event there. Ed Paredes, 26-3, 1 draw, 16 knockouts, fighting Jerome Alvarez, 12-11, 10 knockouts, 2 draws. But also on that card is a guy who fought Hank Lundy up here in Boston not too long ago. Fight that I saw. Richard Abreu, he's fighting TBA at this point. But he's 14-2, with 7 knockouts, 1 draw, fighting a 10-rounder at lightweight with somebody. The real reason I wanted to mention this card, though, is we have Bert Cooper's third comeback fight on this card. He's 2-0 since he's been brought back into the sport from an 8-year absence. He's had a tough fight the last time out. He had a split decision win back in February against Gabe Brown.
Yeah, he's got to weigh 360 pounds.
362 pounds, yeah. 18-13 is the win-loss record. It's 4 draws. And Cooper won a split decision by 1 point on one card and 4 points on another card. And I lost on one card by 1 point. But he's fighting now a guy who's undefeated, Luis Ortiz, at heavyweight. 7-0 with 5 knockouts. How that goes this Saturday. Check back on that later. Also, in Pittsburgh, we have some picks on Saturday. A round of super featherweight fight between Monta Meza Clay, 29-3 with 20 knockouts, fighting Oscar Cuero, who's 13-5 with 10 knockouts. Not much else worth mentioning on that card. The big card this weekend is the Bantamweight tournament that's going on, promoted by Gary Shaw, Don King, and Richard Schaefer. We have Victor Chinian versus Yoni Perez for the consolation, I believe. The Lincoln International Boxing Organization Bantamweight title. I don't know why that all looks like. Maybe that's on the next one. But also, DeVaro Williamson is fighting at heavyweight and rounder. He's 26-6, which was 2 knockouts, fighting Michael Morone, who's at 19-2, 14 knockouts. Yeah, for the main event, they're changing. It's 35-6 with 27 knockouts. Perez, Moral Victory in San Bernardino, California. whole bunch of events coming up tomorrow night. We got Wisconsin tournament finals for Combat USA in Green Bay tomorrow. Supremacy from UCC4. And that's from Morristown, New Jersey. Matrix Fights 4 from Philadelphia at the Sheet Metal Workers Union Hall. You want to go to that, Tony?
I've never been there.
I never heard of it. So we have World Extreme Fighting 46 from the UCF Arena at the University of Central Florida tomorrow night. We have Hostile Gladiator Challenge from the Sebulba Casino in San Jacinto. The New Braunfels Beatdown from Kick-Ass Productions, New Braunfels, Texas. Oh, here's a good one. Black Eye Promotions 3. That's got to be in Western North Carolina. Actually, Fletcher, North Carolina, at the Western North Carolina Ag Center. And finally, on Friday, we have Mega Champions 3 in Mansfield, Massachusetts, put on by AFO. And then we have a bunch of stuff going on Saturday. We've got about 20 fights going on Saturday. Let's go through them quick. Bellator Fighting Championships 42 from Oklahoma, the Lucky Star Casino in Concho, Oklahoma. SNA 7 Shock and Awe in Portsmouth, Hampshire, England. EFC 8 Aggression from Alberta, Canada. Prestige MMA 2 Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada. GCF Challenger from Czech Republic, way overseas there. And we have Deep 53 Impact in Tokyo, Japan. Good to see them. It's going on another show with all the stuff out there about Japanese MMA falling apart. We also have Tribal 8, Volume 32 in Tokyo. EFC Extreme Fighting Championships 2 from Fairfield, New Jersey. At the Dorchester Armory, where I grew up, right around the corner from in Boston, we have Beantown Brawl, put on by KJFX, folks we used to deal with when I was living in Mass. So it's an all amateur card this time around, so it should be interesting. I don't think they've ever done that before. We have Face to Face 4 from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Team Nogueira Training Center on Saturday. Elite Series 5 from Roftagon MMA in El Rio, Ohio. Junior World Grand Prix 2 from the Ramada Hotel in Hayes, Kansas. NFL Smashdown from South Bend, Indiana. Rumble at the Roseland 56, put on by FCFF in Portland, Oregon at the Roseland Theater. Brawl in the Borough at Ashboro, North Carolina's Shake Nightclub. Battle at the Border 9, put on by The Cage Incorporated at Dakota Magic Casino in Atkinson, North Dakota. And a few more here. Baptized by Fire, put on by CFX in Brainerd, Minnesota at the Brainerd Civic Center. Fight Night 2, Rings of Dreams from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. MC Benton Convention Center. Extreme Fighting, put on by IXFA at Nutty Jerry's in Winnie, Texas. Knockout Night 1 from Gladiator Cage Fights, put on Marion, Illinois, the Williamson County Pavilion. Steel City Rumble 7 from Main Street, Grand Junction, Colorado. And Cage Sport 14 from the Emerald Queen Casino in Tacoma, Washington. And we had a couple Sunday events in Tokyo, Club Deep in Diana. That sounds like a porno movie. Club Diana, Tokyo, Japan. Demolition Sigma Reload from AI Hall in Itami, Hyogo, Japan. And another Sunday event in North London, England. HMV Forum, Cage Warriors Warriors Fighting Championship 41. That's it for the upcoming schedule here. It's just about time to give our buddy there, Dennis, a call. See what the heck is going on. So add him to the conversation.
Kind of brain damage. I want to talk about that email you sent me yesterday. The work
Hello.
Hello.
Dennis.
Yes.
You're live from the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. What's going on?
Oh, okay. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Is Tony with you?
Tony's on the line.
Of course.
Hey, Tony. How you doing, buddy? I got to talk to Mike. Good. Long time no talk to. I haven't talked in a couple of years. For a year, anyway.
It's been about a year, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, things are going well for you. Guys are doing good.
Yeah. Everything's going well for me. In fact, I was glad. I was telling Rick that we were doing the show tonight because I actually strained a vocal cord the other night. I haven't been able to talk for 3 days.
Wow. All right, I got to go up to my car. Hold on. Wait a minute. Okay. I got a screaming kid. And so, hello?
Yeah.
Did you get a hold of Bobby McGuire?
That's right.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Did you get a hold of Bobby McGuire?
Yeah, I tried, but I couldn't get a hold of him.
All right. That's all right. Well, we can go through some, you know, I really appreciate you guys bringing me on, and I know you want to talk about, I'd like to talk about it and get people out to come out to the Battle of Badges 3 on this next Saturday coming up. It's going to be, and you helped us out last year with a Rich doing it, and it was pretty exciting. So I think definitely people get their money worth when they see New York, you know, New York, and it's kind of New York and like Boston and this area, New England really have some great rivalries. So firing away. I mean, I'd love to be able to promote it, so I'll let you guys ask me some questions without interrupting you, the best of my ability.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the guys that are fighting that you know about.
I get the bout sheet here, and that's why I printed it off and made the updates. As of today, we have 14 bouts. Okay, and I'll just go through them one at a time. Let's go right down the list. I got, I don't know if they're going to come out in this order, but you probably saw this guy last year, Rich. I don't know who he fought. FDNY, Fire Department, New York, Todd Velton, age 33, weight 152 pounds, record 4-6, okay, versus Department of Correction Officer Mike Thomas, I think he works up in Shirley, Massachusetts, age 24, 150, he's going to come in around 160 pounds. He has a record of 1-3. So there's still novice fighters. That's in the novice division. You remember that guy fighting Ted Aldrich?
Yes.
Todd Velton? I don't know if he's, for a 4-6 fighter, I mean, you know, don't let the record fool you, especially in amateur boxing. You know, it's like one of those things you never know. You know, you think you win and all of a sudden you lose. I've had great experience of watching amateur fights, and you never know who's the guy you think should have won, lost. So maybe the guy's 6-4, maybe he's 7-3. 7-2. I mean 7-3, but instead he's 4-6. But anyway, we get okay, and then we get the second fight we have is, you remember this guy here? He could fight of the night. Him and he fought Matt Garen. So I know this guy can fight a little bit. It's Ricky Velasquez. Remember him? Age 29. Weight 210 pounds. He has a record of 0-3. Okay. He's fighting Department of Correction. I think he's fighting this gentleman's with the Federal Department of Corrections, Sean Gray. He's up in Devens, I think, up in the Concord area, Concord Federal Prison. Age 28, weight 234 pounds, never fought before. He looks like a big, strong kid. I saw him at the – we had a weigh-in on the 9th of which amateurs never really do, but we got to get the team together, so we had a weigh-in on the 9th of April. That should be an exciting fight because Ricky Velasquez, he can fight, even though he's 0-3, that fight, I thought it could have gone either way with him and Garen. So, I mean, I'm going to say he's probably better than an 0-3 fighter. But this other guy, Sean Gracie, has been working like heck in the gym, and he's really a tough guy. The third fight we have, I don't know either one of these. I mean, this is from the Fire Department, New York. We have Kevin Barry, age 30, weight 178 pounds, 0-0. Never fought before. This is his first debut. He's fighting the Norwell Police Department. Brian Resnick, age 32, 178 pounds, record 0-0. They're both first time out of. I look at this guy, Brian Resnick. He's not a tall kid. He looks like he comes with a lot of, you know, he has a lot of enthusiasm about him. And I expect to see a great fight. This should be a good fight. They're both even. All these fights are pretty much evenly matched. Maybe one or two might have more fights than the other, but we're talking, that should be a well-matched fight. And I would think our guy's going to come out on top. This is another guy. They have a club out there in New York. Not we couldn't fill everybody with the fire department in New York. The same with us, you know. We had to make the matches so they'd be evenly matched. But they have this comes out of the New York Athletic Club, which the FDNY trains out of. We have a Ruben Lopez, age 28, 158 pounds. He's never fought before, okay? And we have this other gentleman who's our fighter. It's Michael O'Donnell. Actually, Michael O'Donnell's like, I guess this is a good friend of Michael O'Donnell's. He goes out with Michael O'Donnell's niece and my cousin, Chester. They call him Chester Miller III. He's age 26, weight 158, record 0-0. Okay, so that should be a good fight. They say Chester Miller's a real decent. He's probably the most politest kid you'll ever meet in the face of the earth. His nickname is Killer Miller. So I don't know if that is. I had him fill out a question, you know, like a questionnaire. What song do you want to hear? What, you know, what size? What's your stage name? And they put down, he put down Killer Miller. So it's a good name. So I expect nothing but great things out of that young man. So the fourth fight we have, I'm trying to speed it up. This is from the Fire Department of New York. Edgar Reyes, age 32, 165 pounds, he's a record of 5-2, versus this guy here is he fights out of a boxing gym, a New England boxing gym, and the gentleman's he's a teacher, a plumbing teacher. His name is Jared Lucia. Age 29, weight 165, record 7-2. Now, we did have a sparring session with a couple of our guys, and I saw this guy, Jared Lucia, do a little sparring. He's a banger. He's a tough kid. I expect great things from him, and I think we could come out on the top on that one there. So That should be interesting. And here's another fight. Fire Department New York, Dennis Gagin. He's a master fighter. I don't know what his age is. His weight is 195 pounds. He has a record of 0-1. He's fighting this kid, not a kid, this other guy, Eric Cabral. He's from the Department of Corrections, and he's working out of the Department of Corrections in Norfolk. He's age 38, weight 189 pounds, 0-0. Now, this kid here is just a total workout freak. He likes that. He just works out all the time, but he likes that. I don't think he's ever dabbled in it, but he wants to do that mixed martial arts. He kind of likes that. He looks like a real animal, so, I mean, he's a short guy. So I expect that to be a real thing. I mean, he's not tall. He's like 5'7", but, boy, and the other guy's like 5'7", from what I've been told. So it should be that should be a real good fight. I mean, expecting great things. I think we could come out on top on that one. But then again, Bobby McGuire might, from the FDNY, the coach, might think otherwise. We'll see. Now, we have – I went on this website called Masters, and this guy has really helped me out, and I'm just giving him a little plug. Masters of Boxing, mastersboxing.com, mastersboxing.com. It's Manny Fernandez. I don't know. I should have the website in front of me, but I don't. But it's like Masters Boxers, Boxing or Boxers.com. And I happen to get some fighters, some master guys over 35 years old where you can't. We get a guy coming all the way out here. This should be a real exciting. From Watertown, New York, Charles Berkman, age 42, 195 pounds, record 4-5. And he's fighting this gentleman out here. He's a Marine. He owns his own gym. It's called, Fitness Force, Marty Farrell. He has his own strength and conditioning. This guy here, in his day, back in night, he retired out of the ring as an amateur at 10-2. He's never fought in the Masters division, and he's right now 0-0. But this other gentleman, that's all he does is he goes around the country and he fights in these Master tournaments, and he's 4-5. Now, from what I've been told, looking at Marty, he looks like nothing I'd want to play with. I mean, you know, especially fighting back in night, he's in great shape. He's 10-2, but still, you're 0-0 when you stay. It's like starting all over again, you know. And he's fighting a guy with 4-5. Now, from what I've been told, this guy's record should be just the opposite, maybe even more wins. But in the amateurs, you never know how it's going to come out. But that expecting that to be – I can't even tell you who I think is going to win that fight, but I'm hoping Marty does because he's on our team. But I've talked to a couple of guys that say that guy – this guy, Charles Berkman, he owns his own gym out there in Watertown, New York. And they say he's a tough guy, so it should be a good fight. So another gentleman we have out of the same that masters of boxing, Manny Fernandez, is a gentleman out of New York, out of Brooklyn, New York, Frank Meehan, age 55, weight 155 pounds, record 1-0, versus Michael Douglas, 154 pounds, record 1-1. Evenly match. You know, I don't know much about Frank Meehan, but Frank, I talked to Frank, and I never got to meet Mike, so he didn't show up at the weigh-in. But talking to these guys, talking to Frank, you're not going to be disappointed. So that could go either way, so I'm not going to make a prediction on that. Hopefully it goes to our guy. Now, this here is going to be probably the best fight of it. This is going to be the best, most exciting fight that we have right now. We have a New York Police Department representing the Fire Department of New York from New York. This guy's I saw him on YouTube. You can check it out for yourself, Rich. This guy's name is Jamal Spence. Age, I'm going to say he's probably late 20s, early 30s. Weight 165 pounds. Record 20-10. He's going to be fighting criminal justice student, Eli Grahalis, age 19, weight 165, with a record of 13-5. this kid that, let me just tell you, I saw this guy, Jamal Spence. I sent the YouTube clip that's out there on the internet to the Eli's camp, to his coach. His name is Jimmy Velasquez, and from Grundy's gym, and they checked this guy out, Jamal Spence, and they were excited about fighting Jamal. So, but this kid, the Eli Grajales, he's got hands like lightning speed. So I expect that to be like the fight. I would say that's going to probably be the best fight of the night. Now we get another guy from that's probably the highlight fight. We got, and then our main event right now. To the opponent will be announced. The main event for the night will be Billy Trapped, and just to, not to give all the praise to Eli, but this Billy Trapped, you saw him fight last year. He's got fast hands, age 31, 175 pounds, record 12-4. He's going to fight. He had a fight last week. He lost, but they're trying to, and I got the guy's name. He's fighting, a person that was the runner-up in the Golden Gloves, New England Golden Gloves. And I'll get his name in a minute, but I'm expecting Billy Trapped and this other guy to have a rematch. So that's going to be, that should be an exciting fight. That's the main event. And then we go right down the list. I'll just go down to Alex Sulik. I don't know much about him. I can just only talk about, I never met this. And we got another guy from a New England boxing gym, Josh Kidney, age 28, 198 pounds, 0-0. Another fight here. Let me see. I haven't seen any of these guys here. FDNY Ryan, age 36. This guy's name is Brian. I don't know his whole name. Weight, 195 pounds. Record, he has had two fights, so I don't know my versus. Barnstable PD, Police Department officer. Tom Bird, age 44. Weight, 195 pounds. 2-2. So that could be a good fight. I don't know who will come out on the top. Amber, we got a couple of two girl fights here. One from a New England boxing gym out in Middleborough. Her name is Amber Bryant. So we have one girl fight, age 17, weight 130 pounds, record 0-1, but she's 17 years old versus a department correction officer from Shirley, Mass. Of Framingham, I'm not sure which correction facility in Massachusetts. Ashley Moore, age 27, weight 133 pounds. They're both 0-0. And we're getting almost down to the last one. I don't know. You tell me if I'm taking too much time. I mean, I don't want to bore people to death. So, I mean, then we get in we got 15 bouts. It seems like a lot, but you're talking 3 2-minute rounds, So the last, there's a couple fights here. Mike Izzo, don't know anything about him. FDNY, age 33, weight 160 pounds, record 1-3 versus a guy from a New England bar from Grealish's gym. Yeah. What's that? Can you hear me, Rich? All right, two Italian kids, Joe Spinelli and Mike Izzo. They both got pretty good records. And this is one of my dearest friends is fighting. I pulled him out of this. Bobby McGuire needed to make a match for this guy, Tim McGinnis, age 39, weight 225 pounds, record 2-1, versus Ed Nelson, age 53. Weight 230 pounds, record. Ed's record is 1-2. So the other guy's 2-1. This other guy's 1-2. Now make no mistake. Ed Nelson's son is a superstar in the European. I think it's that he plays for Argentina, but it's like that European basketball league out in his son. But Ed's a very good friend of mine. Known to be probably in the street, probably he's probably 90-0 in the street. So that could be a real good fight. I'm expecting Ed's been in the gym. I gave him only a week, 2 weeks notice, but he's in the gym and he's he's working hard at it. So you know, I think he could be. That could be, if anything, it's going to be a great, it's going to be a real good fight. So all the matches are pretty even. Looking forward to getting it over and done. You know, not that I want to rush it, but this took me. You've seen, Rich, all the emails. I've to this date here, between me, Bobby, and everybody I've emailed, I've sent out over. We're up to eight. Me personally, since in 2 months, over 800 emails. Phone calls, and what I like to say is that, not to praise myself, I've only had names and, you know, trying to dig guys out of the woodwork to try to make something happen here, you know, trying to find guys that have badges, like the fire department in New York has a legitimate team, and they've been at it for a long time, you know, so anyway, but that's it as far as the matches, Rich, so go ahead.
All right, so obviously it's going to be next weekend, April 30th.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the charity.
More about the. I don't have it in front of me, but it's a good friend of mine. He is we're trying to raise money for the Edwin Rodriguez Foundation, and Edwin was a two-time national champion. He was something happened where he was supposed to go on to the Olympics. But he was right knocking on the door. It was either him or Demetrius Andre. I think it's Demetrius Andre. But he was he's quite a nice kid. But he has two children that were born premature, and the result of it, I think one of them, if not both of them, have some kind of, you know. Something like, I'm going to say one has like autism and stuff. So we're going to try to do a bang up job for Edwin's foundation. And let me just tell you a little bit about Edwin. Edwin's a personal friend of the promoters. He's a personal friend of mine. His manager, Larry Army. I've known him since I started promoting fights. And this kid's a class act, and I was very excited about raising money for his cause, his family, and what they're going to do is they're working together with. He wants to get back to that. He wants to get back, you know. You know. Can you hear me? How am I coming across? Cause I'm getting a lot of echo sound, Rich.
Yes, you're on speakerphone.
Oh, okay. All right. They're on a speakerphone. But anyway, so Edwin's charity, Rich, why don't you just, you know more about where it's going. I mean, you put it all on the web, you're being the webmaster for the Battle of Badges.info. You know more about the charity. All I can tell you, I'm excited about anything that Edwin Rodriguez and his manager and our team, our promotion team, and the fighters are very honored to do something great for a guy that, possibly, I'm looking for Edwin to be a contender for the super middleweight division with a record of 18-0 and seeing him fight. The only thing I can tell you about Edwin, he just, not only is he a great human being and just a wonderful guy just to be around, but this kid can really fight. I mean, I've seen him fight. I've seen him throw punches, and every punch has a knockout behind it. It just seems like the power behind his punch is unbelievable. I guess it's like the deliverance on his punch is like, it's like I had never seen a fighter with so much discipline and how hard he trained, you know? So, but anyway, that's the charity. You know?
What's this venue like? I don't think I've ever been to the castle in Boston there.
I went to go see John Duddy fight there. And one of his, I think it was probably his second or last fight a couple years back. And it's a castle. It was an old, from what I understand, some people have Googled it and to find out the history behind it. It was the old Boston Armory or something like that. It was an armory building. And I guess the Park Plaza Hotel bought it and converted it into a turn of the century type of, you know, it was very, you know, keeping the integrity of the outside. But on the inside, it's like this real classy function hall. And it really works well for, I mean, it's got the high ceilings and it's a castle. It's literally what you hear, but it's in downtown Boston. It's like, you know, just to go into the castle, just to see a historical building and to have a, you know, two great, like you got the fired upon the heroes of 9/11 in the building like this and the, and the and the law enforcement people, it should make it you know, just the whole thing about, you know, policemen and firemen, and you know, you think about the early time, you know, back in the early days, it must have been some place to really go, the castle. So I mean, being an armory, I don't know what they did in what people did in an armory back then. I know what they do with the armories now. These armory buildings, they turn them into Boys and Girls Club. I know the one in Brockton, the old Brockton Armory, they turned it into a Boys and Girls Club. And you know, but this one here is just a beautiful function hall. They actually have weddings in there, I've been in there for a boxing match, and it's that you could put a couple thousand people in this place. It's unbelievable. After we get done and the fights are over and all that good stuff, we're gonna go over. There's an after party at the Park Plaza Hotel itself, which is right across the street. So, and it should make for, you know, everybody gets done, you know, who beats who, and everybody, you know, the chants of the Yankees, you know what, and all that stuff, we're all going to go over and we're all going to be friends like we did last year, Rich, you remember?
Yeah, except I hope this year there's going to be no bar fights to break up.
No. Yeah, but the one thing I could say, the New York people and our guy and everybody got along from New York. They were an outstanding bunch of people to be around. I mean, it's nice. We all were friends. I mean, it was good. There were just a couple of people that one guy grabbed another girl's whatever, you know, and the next thing, you know, one guy saw it, and then the next thing, you know how it starts. One guy shoves another guy, and all of a sudden you got like, you know, 10 or 20 people going at it, and, you know, but that won't happen again. That's a rare thing. We don't have that same crowd. We get all different. We almost, Richard, there's not one guy on our team this year that's, the only guy that's fighting is Billy Traff. Do you believe that? That's the only fighter, and he's not even fighting the same guy. That guy, Adam, quit. He's all done. No, Adam didn't want to fight it, you know, he didn't want to fight it, but Billy Traft is the only fighter we got from last year, so you know, you had to take like 7 or 8 or 10 guys that we had last year, and I thought they all come back for a rematch, and not one of these guys, they're either too busy, a couple guys got married, some guy got his girl, you know, has a baby on the way, one guy stubbed his toe. Another guy wanted to go, you know, I had the potential of 20, let me just tell you a little bit, I had the potential when I first got into this, I'm not a matchmaker by no stretch of the imagination, but it's unbelievable how, you know, once you get people's contact information, start working it, and you're working it, you work with a couple of people that really know this guy and that guy, but I started out with over 30 fighters on our team. 30 guys I had to pick, and 30 guys, and then 1 minute, it was probably more. I probably started out with 40 guys that I had to pick from, and out of the 40 guys, it got down as low as, I only had 4 matches that Bobby even wanted to see go, because nothing matched up, you know, it was like unbelievable. I was like, oh man, what am I going to do now? So, I mean, I've worked on making these matches since the end of January, just to get where I am with this right now, you know, and I just, you know, I was just emailing, contacting Bobby, and then we reworked the weights, and we did a weigh-in. I mean, it's like, you know, and now I think we really got a team that I can, I can go on my Rolodex now, and out of the 50 guys, now I get probably 50 guys, if, for whatever reason, maybe next time the guy that stubbed his toe or broke his toe, or another guy, you know, another guy, didn't, maybe he thought it was more important. I thought he had a match, and this guy was ready to go, but then he had a chance to go drink beer with his buddy down in Virginia on a vacation. So what are you going to do? You know, do you want to go get beat up? Do you want to go drink beer? I said, you make that call. He said, I don't think I'll be in shape after going down drinking beer with my friend, so I won't be back till Easter. I said, well, then, you know, that's, you know, just guess what? You know, don't think you're going to be fighting for us in the You let me down. Now you're going to let me down. You just didn't have it. You know, you, either you got it or you don't. You know, it can't, let me just tell you how I look at boxing and fighters. And not being a boxing aficionado, it takes a certain person to get into the ring. You know, and you know, one thing you got to have is you know. That's the night I messed around with boxing, but in front of a crowd, it takes a certain person to put on a show. And then you just gotta have the dedication and the discipline to want to do it. And you gotta have a heart. And one thing you gotta have is a punch. And the other thing you gotta have is a good chin. So you gotta be able to take a punch. And then if you got all that, you could possibly be something in boxing, you know. And it says for all these guys that are going into the ring, and you can't imagine how much praise that I give all of them for even stepping up and getting in there. It's a certain, it takes a special person to get in the ring and to do what these guys are doing, just for a good cause, you know. I can't thank all of them, and I can't thank this. The one thing I want to say is just to have the FDNY to be a part of it, it really adds an extra, it adds some special to it, you know, and all their fighters.
Yeah, it was a good show last year. I'm sure it's going to be a good show this year. And hopefully the Boston, New England law enforcement guys win this time.
That's it. Yeah, let me tell you something. One thing I tell you about these guys from New York, you look at them. Timmy Stanton said it the best. You look at them, you say, geez, they don't look like much. Well, boy, when they get in the ring, oh, man, you've seen it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
They can fight. These guys can fight. They're well-trained and well-schooled, you know. So,
not because they have the experience, you know, but they've traveled a lot of places, so.
Yeah, they've gone all over the, you know, but you know something, they're getting to a point now, they got to start, you know, what they call, you got to start getting some new talent. And then, you know, and Bobby's been busy with other things he's got going on. He's got the biggest event that's like as far as an Olympic event coming up, I think, and you might want to talk to Bobby, the police fire games, the Olympic games of the police, it's called the Olympic police and fire games. You can go Google it. It's in New York City. So Bobby's, That's a big, huge thing, and Bobby's like part of the committee that put on this huge event in New York City. I guess it's like 20,000 people across the world. It's an Olympic game type thing for policemen, fire, public safety people. They're going to enter into the Olympics. It's like an Olympics thing, and it's been around for a while. I never heard about it. Then I got an email I got a web link from Bobby. This is what he's been involved in. And it seems like to me it's huge. It's going to be, it's going to last like 5 days or something like that. And it's since, I think it's August, the end of August, the first of September. So you might want to talk to Bobby about that and throw a couple plugs out about that police. It's called the police, something to do with the public safety, police and fire games, Olympic fire games, and they do everything, every sport you could think of, whether it's boxing, whether it's basketball, they got all the sports, you know, and then they get all teams from all across the country. They get them from Canada, they get them from South America, wherever, and they all come to Boston, to New York, and it's the police and fire games. So he's really been at his plate full with that. He's been working on it for over a year. He's been on the committee or something. He has something to do with the committee. He's been working on it for over a year. He's just had his plate full with that. So, you know, but we're back on track.
he's got back on track. I got back on track. You know, you throw your hands up in the air and you say, geez, you know, all the hours. I mean, I can only tell you as far as making the matches for both of us, on top of having your regular job, and if you add up your hours when you get out of work, let's say I get out at 6, 7 o'clock, I'm on the computer, I'm on the telephone, and if you really add up your hours, you know, you couldn't pay me enough money to do this, but I put in 25 hours a week for over a, and then on Saturdays you give it a full day, so I mean, I can honestly say I'm putting 30 hours a week in for over 2 months anyway, so what's that, you know, how many hours is that? And I'm not complaining, and I think the rewards will be good in the end, because we created a team here, and if we can keep these guys, our ultimate goal is to make money for the charity, for the Edwin Rodriguez Foundation, and go forward and really keep the guys busy, like Bobby keeps his guys busy, you know, try to get a regular routine going with a fight, not just one, and instead of scurrying around at the last minute to try to grab, I'm not at the last minute to try to say, well, geez, do you want to fight for me today? And, you know, I want to have three or four where I could, I'd like to do at least four events this year here, whether we're talking about doing Foxwoods, we're talking about fighting the Army, we got some things going on with the Army and the Marines, we're going to fight them, we might fight other cities, you know, so if we could do three events with the with that team, what I call the New England Law Enforcement team, that's something you need to do in order to keep this thing, keep it alive, you know, keep our team alive. And like Bobby tries to keep his team alive by keeping the guys busy. They get something to look forward to, you know. Maybe this talk about us, I guess we have a DOC coach, Tom Brown, who's been a big help too. I don't want to take all the credit for myself. There's a lot of people that really have helped me doing the matchmaking, and one is this guy Tom Brown, Tony Petronelli. Tony Petronelli was a welterweight, North American welterweight champion back in the 70s, 80s, and Tony's been like my go-to guy. Him and Michael, Coach Michael O'Donnell, he was a Golden Gloves champ here in New England back in the, I'm going to say in the 70s too. He's my cousin. So Mike's been, you know, they look old. We all get together on the weekends and we go over matches. We talk about the fighters. We talk, you know, you just talk boxing. It's just boxing. That's all we talk about. So I can't get myself off. So it's been like Tommy Brown, and then it could go right down the list. I mean, yourself, Rich, you helping out with the website and, you know, giving us all good kinds of good information, trying to help us promote it. I mean, it's just a lot to it, but as far as the boxing side of things, we just got to keep the guys busy. And this is Tommy Brown, Michael O'Donnell, myself, Tony Petronelli, Timmy Stanton. He's been a real big help with his TNT boxing. He's been right there with us. So it's been like all us guys. And man, actually, Timmy's really put a lot of hours in with his gym and his time. And you know, we're all working hard to try to develop this team so we can come forward. We get a legitimate New England team, and we can go around and we can be like New York, and that's what we want to do. So when we come around next year, that our guys get some fights under their belt, now we can go back to New York, or we can go to New York, or wherever we decide, we can come back with New York again next year. If we do Battle of Badges 4, we get some guys that get some experience, and we're going to be... Now we get some guys, we get the thing going, we'll have more guys joining the team. A lot of people are starting to inquire about the team, and until I get this event done, I'm not thinking about teams yet, but we're looking ahead. The group of guys that I'm involved with, we're looking ahead to see if we can actually have a legitimate New England boxing team, and that's something we're going to work on. Let's get this. I take it, you know, I go down too many roads. You start going down too many roads, and I want to get this, make sure it's successful. See if it's not, I can't see why it wouldn't be successful. I'm hoping the people come out, and, you know, I'm pretty sure we had a full house last year. We should have a full house this year. So, I mean, then we'll talk about teams and fighting other, you know, other countries, and after I get this done. You know, and I'll get excited once we win, if we can even tie these guys this year, I'll be happy with that, you know. I don't want to, none of these guys are coming here. Our team is not coming here. I just want Bobby McGuire and Mike Reno. There's another guy, that works with Bobby. I want them to know that these guys are working really hard, like their guys are working really hard. And they're coming, we want to win, and like they want to win, but we're going to take it to them, you know. I'm just going to tell them that they're going to have their hands full this time around. I think I got some pretty good matches here. So it's like, and I'm not going to, you know, and I'm pretty sure that Bobby feels the same way too. They want to win, and we want to win. Like we talked on the phone, me and Bobby says, hey, I understand the rivalry. They, you know, the Jets and the Patriots now, and you get the Yankees and the Red Sox. Those are two great rivalries, just those two sports franchises. So it really it keeps it interesting. You know, now we get this here, and then I guess there's some other Boston, but, you know, this to me is bigger because now you're punching people. You know, it's totally different. Go ahead, Rich. Keep me going, and I don't want to take up all your whole night.
All right.
Tony, you got anything you like? Tony, what would you like to ask me?
Well, actually, when you were talking earlier and you were going over some of the records of the fighter, and you were, you know, a lot of these guys, you can't measure them by the records. And the first thing that always reminds me of, it reminds me of a couple things. You know, I've been following the fight game for, you know, most of my 34 years now, and one fight my dad always talks about is I guess around maybe 10 years old, and they had a fearless Freddie Pendleton who was originally out of Philadelphia.
He was
a 500 fighter at the time. He was like 15-15, and he was brought on ESPN to get knocked out by Roger Mayweather, not one of my favorite characters in boxing, as Ritual attests. And everybody's thinking, you know, Roger is going to tear Freddie apart. And Freddie came in shape, and you know what? He came in focused, and he blasted Roger with a right hand and knocked his ass out cold in the sixth round. And it ended up propelling him onto a world title. He ended up winning the world title. So that's one thing. You have guys like Emmanuel Augustus out there, never had a great record. Mickey Ward from the Boston area, you know, never had a perfect record, but, you know, he was a good fighter. And sometimes guys just need a break. And the one thing I always remember, and I told Rich this a few months ago, my college coach, Dr. Cox, he was a guy, he was always playing mind games with people. And I was a sophomore. And my freshman year, I lost my first fight because I didn't come in shape. And, you know, I just came straight ahead. I fought a real stupid fight. The guy was a little older. He was a little bigger, more experienced. And, yeah, he beat me. So then I really started, buckling down and really hustling and getting in good shape and learning the craft. So I won my next fight over a kid from Westfield. Stopped him in the second round up in State University in New York, Westchester, by a guy named Steve Acunto, who was a guy that used to put on a lot of good shows together. We had him on the air a year ago. So
hey, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, Steve used to put some really good shows together, and I got my first win on one of his cards, stopped the guy from Westfield. So now I'm 1-1, and I had another fight against a guy that became an All-American. He had about a good 25, 30 fights under his belt, and I gave him a good run for his money, but his experience won out. But it was a good learning experience. Then I went to the guy. They actually felt so high of me, they gave me a shot at the regionals. And I fought this guy from Penn State in his home gym, tooth and nail. And I didn't get the decision, but, you know what, I earned a lot of respect. So the following year, there was a team from University of Buffalo. And they were going to come to this invitational down at Penn State University. And they were going to bring some fighters down. And just when Dr. Cox was on the phone with their coach, I happened to have to bring something to his office. He goes, listen, he goes, hang here for a few minutes. I'm talking to the Buffalo coach. He goes, I want to teach you something. So I said, okay. I sat down, and he's on the phone, and he goes, okay. He's like, okay, who do you want to bring to your fight card? And one guy's like, I got a guy about 178 pounds, and he's 0-0. He hasn't had any fights yet. So I said, okay. He goes, I got two guys that I'm bringing around that weight class that you can fight. He goes, we have one guy here who was a teammate of mine, and he fought in the novice class the whole year before, and he wasn't really that good. He just fought a lot of guys that went nowhere. you know, he was fighting with the guys that were the professional opponents, quote unquote. And he was 4-1. And, you know, he had a good record. And then you had me, I'm 1-3. So he goes, okay, we got this one guy on the team, and he's 4-1. You know, he fought mostly novice last year, but he's 4-1. Then we got our other guy, he's around 182 pounds. And he goes, what was your record? I'm like, I was 1-3 last year, coach. Oh, yeah, he was 1-3. You know, he fought in the regionals, lost in the semis. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And then the guy goes, any of those two, you know, a power puncher? And the doctor goes, oh, no, not at all. You know, so-and-so, he, all of his fights were decision, and Tony's only win was a stoppage, but the guy wasn't very good. And then, you know, we only got one guy on the team that's a power puncher. And the guy goes, okay, I'll take the guy that's 1-3. And Dr. Cox looked at me and smiled and goes, he just fell into our trap. And it was unfortunate that they ended up canceling because the snowstorm hit Buffalo that week. They couldn't make the trip because he goes, we baited them just the way we wanted them. This guy was going to walk in there thinking he's fighting a 1-3 guy that's no good. Didn't realize that I had a lot of training in a professional gym in South Philadelphia with guys that were, you know, training for title fights. He goes, we're baiting this guy in, and we're going to knock his ass out.
Wow. So, yeah, just, you know, you never know what you're going to be facing, and, you know, just don't let the records fool you is the motto of the story.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's,
I've trained with a lot of guys, and, you know, and some of them did not have good records, and they were much better fighters. And I'm going, like, you know, in the professional rank. But I remember going to a fight card a couple years ago, and one of my friends was fighting on the card, and his record was something like 20-10. You know, it wasn't great, but, you know, it was respectable because he had fought good fighters. He had fought like, you know, they had like a couple ESPN cards. And he fought guys that were, you know, legitimate, you know, contenders, and he was losing, like, split decisions or, you know, very close decisions. He wasn't getting stopped in any of those fights, and he wasn't getting dominated. So, you know, I remember being in a situation, I go, how good can this guy be? You know, imagine you look at a guy like Floyd Mayweather, 41-0. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Floyd's in a class by himself, I'll give you that. But there are a lot of guys out there that have undefeated records that, you know what, they've fought, as Greg Haugen once said about Julio Cesar Chavez, how many of them guys were Tijuana taxi cab drivers?
Yeah, right. But, you know, I tell you, Tony, I'm just, you know, just boxing's one of those sports, you know. You don't know what to expect until you get in, until you step on, you step in the ring, you know, and you're looking at it like it's like nothing. It's like nothing else, you know. It's like you're in there, and you can't take all the people in the ring with you. You're in there, and you're going toe to toe, or however you fight, and you know, may the better man win. You know, I think it's the guy that puts the most time in, that's the condition the best, that usually wins. You know, that's what I find. If they're, you know, even depending on the status of level of fighting, you know, it's conditioning, you know, like Rocky Marciano. One thing they could say about Rocky, he knew when he stepped into that ring, number one is he had a lot of things going for him. He had the punch, the chin, and he had the heart, you know, and taking all those things. But the other thing he did, was he was the most conditioned athlete. When he knew when he walked into that ring, he wasn't going to get beat because of his condition and his conditioning. He just knew that when he got in there, that wasn't going to be the part of it. He was either going to take the punch or he was going to give the punch. And a lot of guys came out in the short end of the stick because he knocked out. He had a punch because he had 43, by the way, in knockout. So when you think of somebody like that, you know, the conditioning and the dedication. I don't think half these guys today that I can see, unless you're really at the top of your game, that put in like a guy like Edwin Rodriguez. He gives he gives like 5 hours a day or 6 hours a day, whatever it is, just to be ready. You know, maybe it's more. I mean, then he does his road work and he puts the time in, you know, and he wants it. He wants it better. You've got to want it. If you don't want it, then no matter how good you might think you are, you got to want to win, and you got to at all costs, you know, whatever it's going to take to win, you got to do it. It's conditioning, you know. Some guys just say, even if you got natural ability, you know, you could still lose. But natural ability, it can only get you so far. It's the ability to be able to put the time in. It's like just like when making boxing matches. If you put the time in, you're probably going to have pretty good boxing there. You don't put any time into this thing, it's going to come out Mickey Mouse. You might come out, you know, you can't fool people, you know. It's a true boxing fan, you know. So, but anyway, I want to just to talk about the event, just to give everybody, you can go to battleofthebadges.info. That's battleofthebadges.info. You can get all the information off of the website that Rich did an awesome job on the website. And if you need tickets, you can now put my phone number out there, and that's 508-509-3236. That's 508-509-3236. We got plenty of tickets left. Come on up. For a great cause. Come on up, see some good fights. Ticket prices, if you call me, you know, tickets are $35, general admission. But if you call in tonight on the radio show and you talk, then you call, you get my number tonight, I'll save you $5 and I'll ship you and I'll mail you out some tickets. That's $35 general admission. You can buy it tonight for $30. Ringside 60, and then we have a VIP ringside for 100 from 5 to 7. You get, you know, you get some food and you get some beer and some wine, and the VIP, and it's going to be hosted by Edwin Rodriguez and Vinny Paz. He likes to be called Vinny Paz, and what a gentleman he is. There's another guy I just want to thank, you know, if you really want to see a class act and a classy guy and a good guy, and that's Vinny Paz. I mean, you know, and he's trying to help us put people in the castle that night. And he's coming out for Edwin's cause, and he's hosting the VIP, and he's going to be sitting ringside. And I'm looking forward to having both those guys be part of. I think it's just going to be hopefully we keep doing it every year. I mean, but just let Vinny know that, thanks, Vinny, if you're listening to the show tonight, thanks for who you are and what you do and what you've done for us, the New England Direct Promotions, and my other good friend, the two promoters, my personal friend is Larry Belcamino from New England. I want to thank him. And Brian D. From New England Direct Promotions, they really wanted this thing to work, and it is going to work. And I just want to thank them for having the time and the resources to make this thing possible. But at a pretty big, I like to say it's a pretty classy venue, I guess you would call it, as far as where it's going to be held. I mean, you know, in downtown Boston, I mean, and, you know, you get all the, there's so much to do in Boston. It's a great city. And then even where the fighters are staying, these guys, at least one thing, they're coming out to fight, but they're going to be staying at a four-star hotel. The Park Plaza Hotel is where they're going to be lodging for a couple nights for coming out here to fight, to enjoy Boston. They love Boston. The New York guys love coming to Boston. They love the city, you know. They like going to watch the Boston Red Sox. Would you believe that? They like to watch the Boston Red Sox lose. And I think they like coming to watch the Boston Red Sox. So, but, yeah, I'm just excited about getting it on. You know, it's like, you know, you prepare yourself. I've been working on this thing, Rich, I think, since when it since Christmas. You know, started a little bit here, a little bit. I just my first email was just before Christmas. Ask me something. You're coming in. I can hear you, but I think that speaker's I'm getting an echo sound.
Yeah, that's just.
But go ahead, ask me something, Rich.
Well, it sounds like you did a lot of work to get ready for this, and it's going to be a good show. How are the ticket sales going, by the way?
I think we get a 40% or 50% sell through right now, which is better than last year. So I mean, you know, it's going. I think we'll be fine. I mean, you know, we still got a week, and we're hustling every day. Could be more. I'm not really the tickets on. I think I screwed up the tickets last year, so they took it. Brian took it out of my hands. He's handling everything, and one of them. It was the tickets. So I got enough to do making matches. Brian's handling all the tickets and the PR stuff. And, you know, yeah, no, tickets are going good from what I understand. We, you know, the part we want to thank, you know, thank all our sponsors. We got Narragansett Brewery. It's a sponsor. We're going to be having a lot of Narragansett. We got the Narragansett Girls. We got T-Mobile came on as a sponsor we want to thank T-Mobile, and then Massachusetts Department of Correction Union, I think it's called McCufu, I'm not sure of the name, so I don't. And I want to thank the Mass Department of Correction for their kind donation. And there's so many sponsors, but those are the guys that I know that I get sponsored. We wanted, I think, Narragansett Beer is the title sponsor, and Narragansett's really the beer here. I've had the beer; it's delicious. So looking forward to having that. T-Mobile. I personally am on a T-Mobile, the BlackBerry Bowl, but my cell phone provider is T-Mobile, so it's they're coming out of Mansfield to come do the show, and I'm really excited about having all my sponsors. I just want to thank them. Without them, believe me when I tell you, it'd be very difficult to put on the show with this magnitude. I mean, even though it's an amateur boxing, it's a very, you know, it's very costly amateur boxing. But without them, this event would not be possible, you know. So I want to thank, and if I miss somebody, I just want to let them know that I don't have all the names of who's who, but there's a few others, quite a few others that are involved. But the ones I know, I just want to thank them for making things possible for us. And even from, you know, everybody that's had a part of, like I said, you, Tony and Rich, I can't thank you enough for even having me on the show. I just hope I didn't talk too much.
Yeah, you're banned from now on. No, I'm just kidding.
But you know, we got to do. What I'd like to do is I didn't have enough time, but I had a few other guys. By the time I got your email last night, but what I'll do is you guys are coming on. I'd like to get on again next Thursday, and I'll get. Well, I don't know if you want me on again next year. I don't want to come on. I mean, I'll make it so Bobby, you got to reach out to Bobby, and I'll get Mikey. I got some other Mike Culbert and a few other guys. You could talk. They can talk to you about the boxing matches, what they saw at the weigh-in, and just ask them what their take is. And then if we could get Brian D on, that would be on the promotion side. What his thoughts are on Battle of Badges 3. So it should be a. You know, we can do that. I'd like to be able to do it again next week for you. For us, we need all the help we can get. So once again, it's Battle of the Badges. Our website is www.battleofthebadges.info. My name's my phone number is, if you want to get some tickets, you call me even tomorrow. It said you're gonna Fight News Unlimited. You will listen to the show, and I won't charge you anything to mail your ticket. I'll give you a discount. You can take credit card over the phone, and we could send you a couple of. You could get some tickets and help out a great cause. So, anybody you want to pass that, if you want to shout that out, Rich, for you, for your listeners, make sure that they're or that they get the emails, just forward them to me. Please do, you know.
Sure.
So anything else, fellas? Anything else you want to ask me? I got a lot of boxing matches here. I'm looking forward to, you know, too bad you're not, Richie, you know, I know you're in the big time now, being out there in Vegas. I feel like I'm, you know, you really, you're moving up in the world. You know, you went from Abington when I knew you, and then you went up to Live Free and Die. What's that, New Hampshire? You went from Live Free and Die in New Hampshire out to the big city, up to the what do they call it, the Sin City. Rich is in Sin City, Las Vegas now, and broadcast and fight news. I'm impressed. You're doing well. I'm glad for you. You know, being part of Las Vegas, the fight scene out there and all the action out there, and you know, I imagine you'll make some good connections, and you know, good luck, buddy. You know, thanks for all you've done to help me out, and you know, in the last couple of years, it's been we've done some good stuff together, and you know, when you get out here, just call me when you're gonna come on. We'll hook up. Love to see you again. You know? And if you got anything else you want to ask me, because I'm gonna sound like I talk too much. So, what time does it? How long does the show usually go, Rich? I forget.
We got another half an hour, so we got a lot to cover. But definitely, it was great talking
to you. Is there anything you really want? I mean, these are gonna be all I could say. The fights are gonna be. It's all. You can have all. We get this. We get everything. We get the Narragansett girls. We get this gentleman. I guess he's out there and he does some stuff in Las Vegas, singing the national anthem. Larry got this guy named Tony Martelli. He's supposed to be a real high. He's singing the national anthem, and you know, from the time we walk into that ring, it's going to be the beat of the music. You know, you know how it goes. Richie was pretty exciting. Both teams all walked into the ring, you know, New York coming in on one side, they all faced each other, and bingo, it's showtime. I don't want to use that guy saying, I guess, but, you know, let's get it on, I guess, let's get ready to rumble, I guess, that's that guy used to say,
Michael Buffer.
Yeah, Michael Buffer. Let's get ready to rumble, let's get it on, New York, Fire Department, New York. May the better team win. I expect us to win. I wouldn't say we're going to win all the fights, but I'm going to say we're going to probably. It's going to be. I'll even take a tie and lose this year. So, you know, I will tell you one thing. The New York fighters, and I've seen not just the FDNY, but I said we had a show. I had another show with Jimmy Perella from USA Boxing. He brought in all, he wanted to do something different. He wanted to bring in the tough guys as good fighters, and they take their fighting in New York serious. And they just seem like something. They put a lot of time in the gyms over there, and the youth over there put a lot into their boxing. And there's some tough, they're tough out there. They really got it going on when it comes to the amateur boxing scene that I know of, and I've seen it for my own self. And it looks like to me, even with Bobby McGuire's FDNY team, they're no joke. They're the real deal. So we got to have our hands full. And these guys, all I could say is all the fighters on our team have been working extremely hard, and they're prepared. And it's like I said, when I made an announcement at the weigh-in, you know, I get sick of the stubbed toes, the drinking the beer, excuses. I've heard every excuse, the deaths in the family, you know, I mean, and the baby's coming out next week, and I mean, everything. I mean, you can't even, and they're all probably, and you know, they're all probably good at, then some of them, one guy hit the heavy bag, he ripped his bicep. Now that, you know, I mean, you know, he says, things like that, and the guy that stubbed his toe, well, you know, and it broke his toe, whatever he did. I keep thinking about stuff, but I said at the weigh-in, look, I've had it, and I said I pretty much had it with all the, I gave all the excuses, the stub toes. I said, look, this is not for everybody. And one thing I did say, this sport is not for everybody. this is something you really have. People get hurt when they go into the ring. You're going to get hit. You've got to like to get punched if you're going to get hit. And I said, and right now, after I say what I'm going to say, and you don't think you want to do it, we can have a, just meet me out by the locker room, right? I just pointed to an area, and just come to me. No one will know. Just come in your confidence and say, I just can't do it for whatever reason. But and I'll get in, and if and don't worry, no one will know. I won't say anything. But you know something? After I said that, everybody, I said, you got to look at yourself, look at me, and say, I got it or I don't get it. And when I said, gave my pep talk, everybody just said, I don't want to hear any last minute, I can't make it into the ring, because that ain't going to cut it with me. You know, I says, you know, I can't afford to have that happen. You know, we're spending a lot of money bringing people out here for you guys to fight, you know. I mean, there is a cost, even though they're not, even though amateur boxing, but the cost, the sheer cost of bringing a guy out here to fight, and one of our guys just can't make it because, you know, man, something really bad happened. And you know, last year, Rich, one guy came all the way up from New York, one of their fighters, right? And I had an opponent, Bobby Sweeney, the guy, right? And then the guy turned around, he, his nephew got killed in an automobile accident. Well, that's a reason, that's a good excuse to go back, turn around, and it's his nephew, it's his godson, or whatever it was. He had a, he was halfway here, to, and he turned around, and he couldn't, didn't have his mindset, so we headed back to, he had to head back to New York. So I don't, hopefully nothing bad really happens, but you never know. It's 7 days out, and so that's why I prepared like 15, going into this thing with 14 bouts. Maybe I might have one more bout come on, and if three or four might, you never know. Get right up to the dance, Tony, and you don't know, three or four bouts might not happen, you know? Then what do you do?
Believe me, I've been to enough amateur cards where shit's happened. I've had shit happen to me. People so mysteriously have the flu. I've gotten the cards one time. I was supposed to fight at 178. I was weighing in at 178. They're like, we got a problem. What's the problem? Would you mind fighting heavyweight?
That's
191. I believe that stuff happened.
Well, you know, that's another thing. You know, I told it. I said, and I put in my email, and I don't know if you saw my email, Rich. I said, this, I said, look at, and I said it so well. You know, you gotta, you know, there's three reasons why you won't be able to fight. Fight your opponent. You're either overweight. You're overweight, or your weight's got to be right. You're too old for an opponent, or you just don't show up. I don't want any of those to happen. I want you to take your opponent serious, because we, you know, just come in, get you, do your job, do your business. You know, you're doing it because you love the sport. You're going in the ring, not, you know, you're going in there, yes, for the charity or whatever. You know, we're doing it as a charity fundraiser, but these guys here really think they want it. They want to fight. They really want to do this because they love the sport. You got to love, I'm doing what I'm doing, not because I'm of the money. If it was the money, there's better ways of making money. It's because of the love for the sport that I have and the people. You know how many beautiful people you meet in the world of in this sport, whether it's from the amateurs right into the professional, there are so many good people, friendly people, nice people. I could say out of 100 fighters, 100 promoters, 100 of everybody, there's only a small percentage of them really give boxing a bad name, and it's a very small. But I've never met a fighter yet. He could be the biggest. He might have a dark side to him when he gets out the door of the gym, but when he's in the gym, he's a fighter. They don't come much nicer. And then they're just the nicest people you have. You know, Tony, right? Am I right? They're most, I mean, and Rich, you've seen it with your own eyes. I've never seen them not ever spend the time not to want to come over, either sign an autograph or just talk to you, find out who you are more than what they're about. You know, it's like, man, that's a really a nice feeling about some of the sport itself. There's only a few guys in the sport that give it a black eye, you know?
I'll tell you a few things, Dennis. Like I said, I've been involved in the sport for 16, 17 years now almost, and mostly starting on an amateur level. And there's a couple things that I'll never forget. You know, and like I said, I used to go to football camp in Philadelphia when I was a kid watching the Eagles practice. And, yeah, you'd get autographs from some of the guys, you know, big deal. I've seen other people at events, and you just get more of like a courtesy signature than anything. The first thing I really noticed about getting into boxing was back in 1995, there was a fighter out of Philadelphia who was a cruiserweight. His name was Nate Miller. And just by chance, the woman he was dating or engaged to was working with my dad and with my trainer for the Philadelphia Electric Company. And Nate, that summer, won the world title. He knocked out Terry Norris's older brother, Orlin. Knocked him out, won the world title. And my dad was talking to his fiancée at work one day and said, hey, do you think Nate would come down to our gym to meet some of the guys and whatever? And she said, oh, he'd love to. So Nate, I was actually in the ring sparring when it happened, and the doors open, and here comes in Nate Miller with his world title belt. Now my jaw all but drops because I had met a few pro fighters in my gym. These are the guys that were like, you know, 2-4 and, you know, 1-1 and lower level. This guy's a world champion. He came in, and since he knew my dad, he knew my trainer, he's talking to them, and so we're all getting pictures, and I was kind of, you know, intimidated because this guy's the champ of the world. And, you know, we're all putting our hands up, and he's kind of giving me the pound and everything, and he was really cool about it. And then he shook our hands, and he left. And a few years later, I'm down at the Blue Horizon in Philadelphia at a pro fight card. And I'm in the lobby, and there's Nate Miller. And I was a little bit more confident in myself now. I was an All-American amateur fighter. So I just went up to him like, hey, you know, Mr. Miller, hi, how you doing? It's good to see you again. And he stopped, and he extended his hand to me, and he goes, how's your career going? Are you still fighting? How's everything going? Are you still training in South Philly? And to me, that meant the world because at the time, I was the guy that was 1-3 in the amateurs, and here was the champ of the world that remembered me when I was 1-3. And now that I was All-American and he was asking how I was doing, that was cloud nine. And the other one that I'll remember was a fighter that you and I talked about earlier, Vinny Paz, who was one of my idols growing up, watching his fights. And my dad took me to a couple of his fights in Atlantic City. And I got to meet him at a fight card a couple of years ago. And I slipped him my business card for Fight News Unlimited. And he called me to schedule an interview, which I thought was great. And he was a great interview. He was very personable. Great talk with him. And then a year later, it was Christmas time coming up. And the year before, I had treated my dad to a trip up to Boston to go to a game at Fenway Park. So he never saw Fenway. And Rich came to Fenway. We all hung out together, and we had a great time. I was like, man, I'm like, I got to get my dad a Christmas gift. And I'm like, how can I possibly top a trip to Fenway? And I was like, you know what? Vinny Paz just came out with his autobiography, and I got his phone number. I said, let me just roll the dice here and see what happens. Worst comes to worst, he'll say, what are you talking about? No, can't do it. You know, don't waste my time. I called him up. He answered the call. He remembered doing the interview. He asked how I was doing. And I said, Vinny, listen, my dad was a big fan. My dad was about as big a fan as I was. And I said, listen, I said, we got this Christmas coming up, and I said, I want to get my dad really something good this year. I know your book came out. Is there a way I could order it for him? And he said, listen, he goes, I don't have any copies with me. If you can get a copy from Walden or B. Dalton or whatever it is, or Amazon or however you can get it, and you ship it to me, here's my home address, ship it to me, I will sign it personally for your father and mail it back to you. I got it 3 days before Christmas. And my dad, when he opened it, the book was face down, and he goes, oh, real funny, you probably bought this book for yourself, and you re-gifted it. And I said, yeah, Dad, turn it over. And he looked, and it was signed, and his jaw hit the floor. I mean, he was shocked. So now that Vinny's on Facebook, you know, I emailed him, and I thanked him for it, and I always joke around with him, you know, when we went to that the Pazienza-Rosenblatt fight back in 96 in Atlantic City. He knocked Rosenblatt out with the overhand right. My dad, whenever we're working out and hit the mitts and all, instead of calling an overhand right, he calls it the Paz. So I told Vinny that. Vinny, he's like, oh, my God. He goes, give your dad my best. You know, tell him the Tasmanian Devil said hi. Oh, I was like, hey, Dad, I'm like, I got an email from Vinny Paz. He likes that you call, you know, the overhand right, the Paz from now on. That's the one thing I remember about boxing. You know, like, when I used to fight on a lot of these amateur cards, and where I went to school, Lock Haven, was the football, it was in the middle of the state of Pennsylvania. If you hit the state of Pennsylvania with a dart right in the middle, that's Lock Haven. Mm-hmm. And we're about 40 minutes from Penn State, and like, outside of our 2 mile radius of the town is nothing.
Yeah.
So you get to Penn State 40 minutes away or another town 40 minutes away. So that, and like, so the football team stinks. The college football team is horrible. But what our identity was, especially like right now, the boxing team is, you know, kind of in a rebuilding mode. But we were known for our boxing team and, of course, our amateur wrestling team, which was, you know, top-ranked college program in the country, you know, always getting
ready
for national titles and stuff. So we'd have our annual, we'd only get one a year, one boxing show a year, and it would draw for a school of barely 3,000 students, we would draw nearly 3,000 people to this show, talking about,
wow.
You know, obviously you can have family and friends, you know, some of the fighters, and, you know, but I mean, we drew like the town to this show. I mean, it was a big event. And I remember every year, it's like a lot of the kids in the town, like these kids really didn't have a whole lot. And there wasn't, Lock Haven wasn't like the fashion of like going out and having a great time or anything. These kids loved coming to the show, and they'd always come up to the fighters afterwards. And I seen other guys, you know, we had one guy on our team that was like, you know, he was a guy from nowhere, Pennsylvania, never saw the state of New York till he was 22 years old. Never flew on a plane till he was almost 23 years old, and he was a guy, you know, fine, like he was a big shot. Me, I was happy to sign, and I'll always tell the other guys on the team, I'm like, yo, I don't care what fraternity you guys are in or how cool you think you guys are. I said, I said, you know how much you can influence one of these young guys. And another thing I remember is like I said, I spent a lot of time in a very tough gym. In South Philadelphia, I mean, we were right next to a crack house, but nobody ever messed with the rec center, mainly because the guy that ran the rec center was a very highly respected martial arts master who survived like 6 bullets in one time. And he was just, you know, everybody that spoke to him spoke very reverently. And the fact that this rec center, you know, they respected the guys in that boxing gym and in that martial arts studio. And,
wow.
You know, I just remember like times going there, and I was one of the top guys at that gym. You know, I was in the ring every night, going in there with pros. I was busting my ass. And we had this one kid who came into the gym. You could tell he was obviously very self-conscious. He was I'll say he was maybe 15, 16 years old. You could tell he didn't have a whole lot of friends. He was a very awkward kid, and he was severely overweight. I mean, he was a big kid, and his reason to come into the boxing gym is he was never going to get in the ring. He was probably never going to spar. He was probably never, you know, he just wanted to lose some weight and to have a little bit better self-confidence of himself. And a lot of times he would come into the gym, he wasn't getting a lot of one-on-one instruction because the trainers knew that, you know, basically they just taught him how to throw a few punches so he could hit the bag, get his heart rate up, and hopefully, you know, lose some weight and improve his quality of life. But you could tell he liked the sport of boxing because he would hit the bags and everything. But then when he was done, he would hang around the gym and he would just want to talk to some of the fighters. And some of the guys were nice enough to him, accommodating to him. And, you know, they would say, hey, man, how you doing? Hey, you hit the bag. You know, hey, good luck. You know, I just felt kind of bad for him just because I knew what it was like to kind of be like a social outcast growing up. And I remember, like, a lot of times they were working out. Like, he would just be standing by the gym or the ring, and he would just grab a water bottle because he'd want to give somebody, one of the fighters, a drink just to feel like he was helping out. And
right.
Saying thank you to him. Or after it was over, you know, just, you know, hitting him with your gloves a little bit, you know, giving him a fist tap.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, there's a kid that's living in a bad neighborhood. you know, he's obviously, he's very influential because of the fact that, you know, he's kind of socially awkward. He's a kid that can grow up and really get into a lot of bad things because,
right,
you know, just the way he is. And if I, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, and I'm not saying this to make myself sound good or anything, but if I, just being nice to him and, you know, just trying to make him feel somewhat included, helped improve his outlook on life, then I did a good thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll tell you, just it's just the sport. It's a, I like the sport. I'm doing this for a lot of different reasons, you know, I've done a lot of events. I only do one a year now, but now I guess it's like this here is this is my thing, and I think we could, if this goes well and it starts catching on, and maybe this could be, I'm looking to, you know, instead of worrying about putting only 1,000 people into a place, I'm looking to have a problem putting 10,000 people to come watching something like this, you know? That would be a dream to come, or even 5,000, you know? I mean, it's just, that's just my ultimate goal in keeping my, in this fight. One last thing I just want to, and then keep my guys busy and really do something good for a lot of different causes like the fire department in New York does. But anyway, I'm just going to give my talk about that. If anybody happens to contact you, you get a $5 off on a $35 general admission ticket. If you mention Fight News Unlimited to me, call me on my phone, 508-509-3236. That's 508-509-3236. If you call me, I can save you the money, and I'll ship, and I'll mail you out a couple of tickets, you know, and we can take credit cards. And that's for Battle of Badges 3, Saturday, April 30th. Doors open at 5. Fights start at, they should start at 7, no later than 7:30. And come on out for a good night of entertainment. Tony, you're welcome to come up and be my guest and be in the VIP. If you want, it's up to you if you can make it out.
I wish I
what
could
do you think?
To work next weekend.
You always got something to do. No, I just want to let you know.
From April to
you
August,
know,
they got me cooking almost every weekend. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, there'll be other times. Don't worry. Okay, we'll get something going. Maybe if it goes good, maybe we're going to do Foxwood. We got something there. We're planning something at Foxwoods, and if you are Mohegan Sun, we might do something there. So, but I want to get this done. I want to thank you guys. Rich, I know you're out there in Vegas. And I don't know, say hi to everybody out there in Vegas. Promote the heck out of your website out there. I know you're in the big time now. And once you're in Sin City, just don't forget your friends, will you, pal? You know, I told you, once you get the big score behind, you get that big score, I want to see a nice donation for my police athletic, I'm changing to the Public Safety Athletic League. I'm forming a Public Safety Athletic League. It's called the Big East Public Safety Athletic League, Rich. Don't forget about us when you get the big, when you make that big score. You remember your friends, okay?
Sure.
And thanks. And hey, look, I'm going to go to bed. Thank you very much, guys, keep on punching, keep on plugging, and we'll try to set something up. I'll get some more people for next Thursday. What time would you be calling, Rich? It's 8 o'clock or something.
Show starts at 8 o'clock. We get the first guests on about 8:30 usually.
All right, 8:30. Okay, I'll make it happen. I'll email you some. I'll get some people to get involved. Okay, and I want to keep this thing going. Keep the event promoted. Keep it out in front of people. We only got a week to go. All right. Good night, fellas. Take care. God bless. Thanks for everything, Tony. Good to talk to you again. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. Maybe we'll make a time when you can. I know Pennsylvania seems like it's a long way away, but eventually you'll be able to be a part of a couple of shows we're going to be doing this year. Okay? Take care.
All right.
Good night. Good night. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we only got about 6 minutes left to go. Alan, we got everybody?
What?
Oh, it was dead silence for a second. I wasn't sure. But we got about 6 minutes left to go here, and I want to just go over the UFC 129 card quickly, because we got that coming up next weekend. We have, of course, the main event, George St. Pierre versus Jake Shields. And GSP is pretty much widely recognized as, if not the pound-for-pound best, the second pound-for-pound best behind Anderson Silva. And if he beats Jake Shields and Anderson Silva beats Okami in Brazil and they fight, then the word is those two are going to decide once and for all. Like Floyd and Manny in boxing, they're going to decide once and for all. They're going to get together and have a fight to decide who's the best, period. George St. Pierre is 21-2 going into this fight, and Jake Shields is 26-4 with one draw. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one next weekend. Also on that card, we have Jose Aldo coming back from some back injury problems. He's fighting Mark Hominick. And it's Jose's the number one featherweight. Hominick is the number three featherweight in the UFC. Aldo's 18-1, nicknamed Scarface. And that's 12 KOs to his record. His last one was against Manny Gamburian in September of last year. Hominick comes in at 20-8 with 9 KOs, 7 submissions. And his last win was against George Roop, and he last lost to Josh Crispy, who's seen in action in Massachusetts. He lost to him in Albuquerque back in 2008, so it's been a while. And Jose hasn't lost since 2005, so definitely going to be a good matchup there. Then we have the Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida match. Been waiting for that for a long time. The word is on the street now that Randy Couture is going to finally hang it up after this fight. He's made his decision before the fight. He knows that Zuffa and the powers that be there are going to ask him, probably give him some options after this fight to fight again, but he's still saying that he's going to retire after this one, no matter which way it goes. So, some tough fights, not really tough fights, but fights against some older guys in his age range, I guess. Mark Coleman and James Toney. And before that, he beat Brandon Vera at UFC 105 back in 2009. And Lyoto Machida is 16-2. He's had a couple tough losses to Mauricio Shogun Hua and Rampage Jackson. Last fight. And to round out the card, we got Benson Henderson versus Mark Bocek, Vladimir Matyushenko versus Jason Brills, Rory McDonald versus Nate Diaz, Kyle Watson versus John McDessie, Sean Pearson versus Jake Hellenberger, Pablo Garza versus Yves Jabouin, Ivan Menjivar versus Charlie Valencia, Claude Patrick versus Daniel Roberts, and Jason McDonald versus Ryan Jensen. And since we're out of time, that's all I got. And until next week.
That's all I got.
We hopefully have some other Battle of the Badges folks on. Keep plugging that show and get you $5 off. Call Dennis at the number that he listed here. And get yourself hooked up if you're in the Boston area.